Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Namo,
namo,
namas,
namas,
tubhyam,
tubhyam,
ashahya,
ashahya,
vega,
vega,
shakti,
shakti,
trayaya kila,
trayaya kila,
thi,
thi,
gunaya,
gunaya,
prapanna,
prapanna,
alaya,
alaya,
duranta,
duranta,
shaktaye,
shaktaye,
khad,
khad,
indriyanam,
indriyanam,
anavapya,
anavapya,
vartmane,
vartmane,
namo namastubhyam ashahya vega,
namo namastubhyam ashahya vega,
shakti trayaya kilati gunaya,
shakti trayaya kilati gunaya,
prapanna palaya duranta shaktaye,
prapanna palaya duranta shaktaye,
karindriyanam anavapya vartmane,
karindriyanam anavapya vartmane.
Again I offer my respectful obeisances.
Again I offer my respectful obeisances.
Tubhyam,
tubhyam,
unto you,
unto you,
ashahya,
ashahya,
formidable,
formidable,
vega,
vega,
forces,
forces,
shakti trayaya,
shakti trayaya,
under the supreme person,
under the supreme person,
who has threefold potencies,
who has threefold potencies,
akila,
akila,
of the universe,
of the universe,
he,
he,
for the intelligent,
for the intelligent,
gunaya,
gunaya,
who appears as the sense objects,
who appears as the sense objects,
prapannapalaya,
prapannapalaya,
under the supreme,
under the supreme,
who gives shelter to the surrendered,
who gives shelter to the surrendered,
duranta shaktaye,
duranta shaktaye,
who possesses energies,
who possesses energies,
very difficult to overcome.
Very difficult to overcome.
Kat indriyanam.
Indriyanam.
By persons unable.
By persons unable.
To control their senses.
To control their senses.
Anavapya.
Anavapya.
Who is unattainable.
Who is unattainable.
Vartmane.
Vartmane.
On the path.
On the path.
Translation. My Lord, you are the controller of formidable strength in three kinds of energy. You appear as the reservoir of all sense pleasure and the protector of the surrendered souls. You possess unlimited energy, but you are unapproachable by those who are unable to control their senses. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you again and again. Purport. Attachment, greed, and lust are three formidable forces that prevent one from concentrating upon the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These forces act because the Supreme Lord does not like to be realized by non-devotees and atheists. However, when one surrenders unto the lotus feet of the Lord, these impediments are withdrawn, and one can realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the Lord is the protector of the surrendered soul. One cannot become a devotee until one surrenders unto the Lord's lotus feet. When the Lord gives one, the Lord gives one the intelligence from within by which one can return home back to Godhead. So the Lord is looking to have transcendental exchange between himself and his devotees. So those who are not devotees, the Lord is not interested in that exchange because there is no real taste there. Material exchange is not actually technically exchange. It looks like exchange, but it's not actually because there's no substance there. It's an exchange between minds, intelligence, egos, senses, But these are all material elements, so they're dead, and they actually aren't us. But because we identify with them and their movements, then we ourselves get some kind of happiness from that. There's a word for that. Whereas sometimes one person will encourage another to do all kinds of activities, and then they get pleasure through that.
Vicarious.
Yeah, vicarious enjoyment. So that's actually what's going on. It's not direct. Because the soul is inactive in these things. Soul is only desiring. So there is no actual exchange in the material world. It looks like it. Just like the tree in the water looks real. It's got fruits, flowers, bark, leaves, everything. It looks. But for one who knows what a real tree is, there's nothing there. Absolutely nothing. It just has that reflection. So that's the difficulty. Is that so the Lord is not interested in that, because there isn't anything. So even just the smallest spark of devotion, the smallest, littlest bit of anything, that attracts the Lord. So many prayers, so many wonderful activities, so many big things, it doesn't attract the Lord because it's empty. It's just a shadow. It's just minds and intelligence and that moving about. I think there's one place where Sukadev Goswami says, you know, flapping bodies, all these bodies are moving, doing things, words are happening, but actually there's nothing there for the soul. There's nothing there for the soul. So this is the problem, is that the soul thinks something is there, but it's not. So that's why the Lord is not interested to be realized by the atheists and the non-devotees. Because what exchange will be there? Even they see the Lord, what do? Duryodhana had a great relationship with Krishna. You know, Jarasandha, any of these, they had nice relationships. Shishupal, Dantavakra. No, they didn't have, right? Shishupal is thinking, this man here took away the girl that's supposed to marry me, right? This girl's never supposed to marry Shishupal. She's the goddess of fortune, right? So she married Krishna. Right? That's natural. They're always together. But Shishupal is thinking, this man took the lady I wanted to marry. Right? So then he has these feelings. So what is the use of his seeing the Lord or realizing the Lord? Nothing. There's no rasa there. No exchange. It means there, maybe in these lower rasas, you know, horror or fear or envy, all these, but that's not a very deep relationship. See, these things are fine if they're added to relationship. You have one of the five primary relationships, and you add this to that, it adds something. You have a friend, and then you're having a good time and laughing and joking, or you have a friend and there's some chivalrous exchange. It adds, but on its own, it doesn't have much flavor, much taste. And then, let alone that it's material. So, therefore, it doesn't attract the Lord. So the Lord does not want to be known by these people. They are here in this material world because they were not interested to know the Lord. That's how we come here. Is that Lord is there, Lord is performing wonderful activities, but we're actually not interested to take part. So this is a problem. But we like the activities. No one's complaining about the activities. You don't hear people in this world generally complaining about the relationships, having friends or having relationships with parents or with children or relationships, conjugal relationships. No one minds this. No one minds the activities of the senses. No one minds trees and water and sky and all. They like it how it is, you know. People would be upset if the trees were... their leaves were down and the roots were up, or, you know, the water was in the sky, and where there's supposed to be water, there's air. You know, people wouldn't like it like that. They like it like this, because this is the reflection of the spiritual world. But the difficulty, they don't like Krishna. They don't want Krishna to be the enjoyer. They want to be the enjoyer themselves. So here then he's described, so these attachment, envy, and lust, then these keep the living entity from seeing Krishna. because they don't want to see Krishna. So they have to be busy, because he can't, there's only Krishna. There's not something else. Use the reservoir here. It says the reservoir of pleasure. So that means all the senses, sense objects, and the sense enjoyment itself, that's all coming from Krishna. He is those things. He is the potency behind them. So everybody's happy with that, but they don't want to see that it's Krishna. Because if it's Krishna, then that means then we have to serve. Right? One always has to serve from where one has come. One's origin, one has some obligation. One has a natural, like the child naturally surrenders to the parents. Right? But so, therefore, if we're coming from Krishna, and all this is coming from Krishna, the natural thing is surrender. But the living entities, they are not so interested. The atheists, the non-devotees, they don't want this. So even though he is, then they can't. They can't know him. Therefore, then this attachment, greed, and lust overwhelm them. Even though all this is coming from Krishna, he's the source of it, then they become attached to it. They become lusty after it. They become greedy for it. All right? So therefore, everything goes on here, these three potencies. Like that. They see something, they like it. And they think, yes, this thing and me will go very well together. Then they become attached, right? Then lust arises, so they want it, they want it to happen. It's a goal, yes, it will be very nice together. And then the greed is there, they must have it, they must act. And this way then they're busy. The living entities are busy running around like this. They keep themselves entertained. So then they don't need the Lord. And then the Lord, he arranges that. So his pastime is arranging all this for all these people. They want all these things. So he is the original father, is the super soul. He goes around and he arranges these things. They want this. Okay, you have this. You want that. Okay, you have that. But it's all, because it's all illusion, there's no satisfaction. So Gajendra here, he was also in this illusion. He was also attached. You know, at this particular time he was attached. It was a hot day. He wanted to go spend some time in the water. You know, he wanted to be with, you know, friends and family. You know, he was very greedy for this. We see, when he was going, knocking down the trees and going through the thorns, he didn't care. So he's very, very enthusiastic. He went there, came in the water, and then somehow or another, the crocodile also was controlled by the same three things. He thought, wow, here comes a fabulous meal, right? You know, I don't even have to, you know, ring up an order for it. It's coming right, it's being delivered. So then then this whole thing started. So they're going on, but with time, because of his distress and that, and because of his previous sadhana, his previous practice as Maharaj Indradumna, then this prayer that he had been regularly reciting, that came up in his mind. And then with that, then he started praying, and this is one of these prayers. And then this remembrance then will give him all perfection. So the distress then can become a cause of surrender to the Lord. Distressful situation, or situation where there's, you know, financial difficulty or whatever, something one needs is not present. You know, a great interest or thirst for knowledge, like this. These things give rise, or actual desire to know the Lord. They give rise to knowing the Lord. So for the devotees, these things are never bad. Materialists will consider them bad, but for the devotee, they're never bad. No situation is bad for the devotee, because whatever the situation, he can remember the Lord, because everything is the Lord. So there's no problem. So these attachment, greed, and lust, then they are there, they're covering this materialistic living entities. But the devotee who surrenders and actually wants to know the Lord, then the Lord removes these things. So in that proportion of surrender, that proportion, these are removed. And as they're removed, then one actually starts to know the Lord. One starts to get a and interest. Then one's attachment for the Lord, one's love for the Lord, and one's interest to serve the Lord, then these arise in the heart. So the same potencies in their pure form, they also then act upon the pure soul, or the soul desirous of seeing the Lord. But for those who are not desirous to see the Lord, then there's a problem. So unless one surrenders, because surrender means you can establish a relationship. There's no surrender, there's no relationship. Any relationship needs surrender. One sees. Even a friend, there must be some surrender, because you have to spend the time together, you have to do things together. If you don't surrender to that, where's the friendship? You want to do one thing, they want to do another, then where's the friendship? Friendship is, they want to do this, okay, we do that with them. Another time, our desire is up, they do that with us. So surrender must be there. Parent must be surrendered, child must be surrendered. You know, the husband, wife, there must be surrender. Otherwise, it doesn't work. No relationship works without surrender. So surrender is the first thing. The non-devotee thinks everything should surrender to me. Right? That's how relationship will be established. But for the Lord, we have to surrender to Him, because that's the actual position. The actual position. Then when we do that, as we do that, then this lust, this greed, and this attachment, they recede in the heart. Because Krishna, in the heart, he removes them. But only when we want. Like that. We want them, He won't remove. Like that. We don't want, He takes. Like that. So we must not want them. Like that. Then Krishna will remove. Any questions or comments? Loudly.
When chanting one japa, so sometimes all my fix on the japa. Sometimes, many times, mind doesn't fix on the chant, or mind goes here and there. We understand that mind not on japa. If I have to put our mind on japa, still again and again goes different subject. So that's very much, not so much important still.
Question is that when we're chanting, the mind goes here and there to other things. So what causes that? What makes it go here and there? Everything comes down to desire. That's what's going on. Like that. We see Krishna's lila is simply desire. It's His desire. He wants to enjoy exchange with His devotees. So because of that desire, then so many things are arranged. So it's the same principle. The living entity, because of what they desire, then those are the situations that they work very hard to get themselves into. And then when they get themselves into these situations, that creates impressions on the mind, right? And the mind will find them either favorable or unfavorable. So if the mind likes it, then we say it's nice. The mind doesn't like it, we say it's bad, even though it's the same, it's individual. You know, one person says it's nice, the other person says it's bad. Same thing, right? We're saying it's so hot out here. Someone just comes from, you know, some really cold, wet place, they come here and they go, oh, this is so nice, right? Because, you know, like that, it's such a change, you know, like that. So it's just what the mind wants. So the difficulty comes is we've cultivated so many things other than Krishna since time immemorial, so those things are in the mind. So it's a matter of desire. We like those things. So the mind will go there. So mind will go wherever. Mind is just looking for something nice. That's all. Whatever it likes, like that. That's its business. It only accepts and rejects. It doesn't do anything else. It's contemplation, how to do something and this and that. I mean, we'll think it's the mind, but it's the intelligence. The mind uses the intelligence, like that, for sense gratification. That's why the yogi, he controls the mind with the intelligence. But otherwise, in the mind, if we're thinking, well, this is, you know, this is good, but then that will be better. That's intelligence. But as soon as it's, I want this, or I don't want that, that's the mind. So mind sometimes doesn't know what to do. So it takes the intelligence and then runs through the whole things or gets other people and runs through it with them until it decides, I want this. And then one acts. Until one knows, one doesn't act. Right? So that's the thing. Until the attachment is there, but until that lust and greed has arisen, there's no movement. You know, you attach the idea, but you don't know how to make it work. So when there's lust, that means then there must be a focus, right? Lust won't be general, right? If it's general, it's just an agitation. Like you see young kids, they hit an age where lust starts to come, they don't know what it is. If they've been trained nicely, they get restless. You just see, they run around, they can't focus, this and that. But if they know what lust is, then they're focused, then they act they know what to do. They're not restless. They don't sit around the house restless, not knowing what to do. They go out and find their point of lust. Right? So it's a matter of desire. So the mind is going these places because that's what it wants. Like that. And the name, it doesn't have a taste for yet. It hasn't gotten a taste that it finds that the name gives me pleasure. A little here and there, very nice kirtan, a moment here and there. But that's just a moment compared to lifetimes of other things. So even though it's more powerful, but by habit we tend to go to the others. That's why then sadhana bhakti means by intelligence we do. We want to get up and leave the temple room and go out and sit somewhere and eat and talk prajalpa. Right? But by intelligence we know I should be sitting here and chanting. So like that, one has to control. And by doing that, then these desires become purified. Means theoretically we want them to go away. Right? Maybe we're attached. But the point is if in theory we want them to go away, they'll start to go away. Krishna will get rid of them. Like that. He'll start to take away. And so then, as the more that that's taken away, then the more it's easy for us to become attracted to Krishna. And that's the whole... We're trying to become attracted to Krishna, but we have a tendency to not be because of these, our attachments, our lust, our greed. So we're not. So as these become purified by the process of devotional service, then if we keep ourselves in devotional activities, then we become attracted to Krishna. Right? It's not enough to get rid of the garbage. You have to put something nice there. Right? We have a room full of garbage. We may get rid of the garbage. It doesn't make it a nice room. You have to fill the room up with nice things. Then it becomes a nice room. So that's the thing, is half is getting rid of the garbage, all these attachments, but the other half is our attraction to Krishna. It means we have to become attached to Krishna. Right? So attachment's fine, but it's supposed to be to Krishna. Lust is a transformation of love. So our original love for Krishna turns into lust. Right? We want to have a relationship with Krishna, exchange, but we want to be Krishna, so that turns into lust with the material energy. Right? Because it's dead matter, so unless you act, it's not going to do anything, right? Krishna is a sentient living being. We're sentient living beings, right? So without lust, you can have exchange. Because you want to please Krishna, Krishna wants to please you. So naturally, the Lord and the living entity have activities. They exchange. So there's no need of lust. But in the material platform, you have a Rasgulla sitting on the table. It's not thinking, wow, look at that guy over there. I'll bet, he would really appreciate me. No, it just sits there. It's dead matter. So unless you have lust and then act on that, there'll be no relationship between you and that Rasgulla. Right? There won't be. So you have to be proactive. Right? So that requires lust, greed, these things. Because otherwise, there is nothing. There is no. You have to. It's like when someone's lusty, they don't know what's going on around. They don't notice. They don't even notice the sense object itself, really. Just the mind got. The mind said, if I get this, I'll be happy. Not necessarily. Right? Sometimes the thing is very distressful. Right? Somebody wants to climb a mountain, right? Freezing cold, wind, ice. He can kill himself. It's not like the most pleasant situation. But because the mind wanted it, when you get it, the mind thinks it's great. So because of that intense desire, you think it's wonderful. But actually, it's not wonderful. It's freezing up there. Your toes, you know, three of your toes just froze off. You know, your friend that you came up fell in a ravine. I mean, it's, you know, it's all going on. So, like that. But you think it's great because you got to the top of that mountain. You've always wanted to get there. It's because of that lust. So you don't notice, actually. So it actually has nothing to do with, there's no real exchange. Just you think that there's been exchange. You know, now me and the mountaintop are together, yes. So rasas happened, right? But the mountaintop couldn't care less, right? So that's the problem. The material world is we are thinking that it's all going on, it's happening. You know, we got a good thing going here, you know, don't mess it up, you know. There's one good thing. You know, it's just, it's not. We just think it's happening. So that's the thing, is that this lust, then it can be love. Right? And greed, then greed to serve Krishna more is not a problem. You want, it's a need, you must have, so that's fine. You must have. So it's fine. These activities are fine, connected to Krishna. But connected to the material energy, there's nothing glorious about them. Nothing glorious. So that's the problem, is just by sadhana, by practice, we can change what the mind wants. By good association, by practice, by study, like that, by contemplation, then we can change what the mind wants. Right? Because the mind changes. Like we think, oh, I want this. And then you go out, if it's a bad experience, you don't want it anymore. Right? People have told you, no, don't do that, it's not good, this. You get the bad experience, and the mind goes, oh yeah, this is bad. Right? So mind can change. Or if someone is, you know, more not so attached, then by intelligence it can be done. Like that, you know, reading about it, oh, you're reading about skiing and this guy broke his leg and that guy, you know, did this and that, then you say, well, maybe I won't do this. Just heard, you know, you heard about it. It's not even, you didn't even hear from someone who broke their leg. You just read about it. So then, it can be changed. But we have to want to change it, and we have to endeavor to change it. Right? We wanted and endeavored everything else that comes into our mind. So if we want Krishna, we have to want and endeavor. Does that make sense?
Maharaj, after joining this call, they said that a lot of people, Guru Maharaj and also Krishna, but after more years, then they are not doing any reciprocation with Krishna. Why?
Why? We surrendered, notice the past tense. We surrendered to Guru and Krishna, but after so many years, then we're not getting that reciprocation that we want, right? So now if we analyze some of these words here, see, surrendered, it's good, it's glorious, but it's supposed to be constant. Devotional service is, what is it? Uninterrupted and unmotivated, right? So here we see a problem. We didn't get what we wanted, motivation, and we surrendered. It's interrupted. You understand? That makes sense, sir. The question's been answered. I'll elaborate, but point is that we are surrendering because we're going to get something. So that's okay. In the beginning, that's okay. But as we go, then it's got to go the other way around. See, if we want to please Krishna, it's then how Krishna wants, not how we want. It means we engage our conditioned nature in Krishna's service. This is a very important element in devotional service, is that even though the mind, intelligence, the ego, the senses are dead matter and actually have nothing to do with this, because we're used to working with them, we have to learn how to engage them in the Lord's service. Because it's a particular kind of mind. right? So it'll do a certain kind of service for Krishna. It can be engaged. Certain kind of intelligence can be used in a certain way, ego or body. So then we take those and we engage them in the Lord's service. But those themselves actually aren't the service, right? You've gone out and you've done something. The thing itself isn't actually the service, right? You've made a nice garden. It's not actually the service, right? You had a mind to make it, you had the energy, you had the resources. Therefore, it's natural for you to use your endeavors, your what you have, your conditioned nature, in the Lord's service. You make that garden. The garden itself actually isn't the service, because it's dead matter also. Right? The mind's dead matter, all the endeavors, it's all. It's being done by the senses, the body, it's all dead matter. But your desire to please the Lord by engaging yourself in the Lord's service, that's the service. So because that's all been done for Krishna, it becomes spiritualized. Therefore, the garden, we call it spiritualized. We call it a spiritual garden. We call, like, we have this building. It's spiritual because it's being used for Krishna. If we pack up and move out of here, you know, and somebody else moves in here, it's not spiritual. Right? So the whole idea is that you're engaging these things in the Lord's service. But what is the motive? What's the goal? Right? And somebody knows, somebody who's very successful, then if they have something, they keep going until they get it. They don't stop. I was reading one businessman. He started 5 businesses. All of them failed, went bankrupt. But he had a faith in the process of business. Right? He was a businessman, but whatever, due to bad karma like that. The 6th time he made a business, he became a billionaire. Because he had faith in the process. He knew the process works, though he didn't work it out. He made mistakes. So if we have faith in the process of devotional service, then surrender won't stop. It'll always be there, because we know without surrender, nothing starts. There's no contact between us and the Lord. So if we aren't surrendered, we were surrendered, and then we say today, where's the relationship? How can there be one unless there's surrender? So the surrender has to be there, always. And so then the relationship can start with the Lord. And then the other thing is we say, what's going on? But then what are we wanting, right? We're sitting here, we're thinking, well, you know, class is over, then lunch, and, you know, big breakfast, and then I got to go over here, and then, you know, I wanted to get into that room, and then this guy over there is making some trouble, I have to talk to this one, and... Right? So we're thinking all these things. So that's engaging our nature in the Lord's service, right? The senses are being engaged, we're taking prasad, the body has to be taken care of, we need a place to stay. The mind needs to be peaceful, therefore the politics is going on, we have to adjust that. You know, then the mind can be used in the Lord's service. But if you look at it, is Krishna directly involved? Right? Is it that, you know, Krishna's come in the form of prasad and, you know, Krishna's saliva is in this, and so when I taste it, then I taste that, and the hairs in my body stand on end, and, you know, that's it. Or it's like, oh, today it's this sabji, you know. I like that sabji, but not this sabji. No, it's not, it's, you know what I'm saying? So it's not that we're directly attached to Krishna. So when we say Krishna's not reciprocating, it's because we don't want Krishna. You know, we want the prasad, but we want this particular kind of prasad. It's not so much that it's Krishna. But because it is Krishna, we're becoming purified and we're becoming attracted to Krishna. But it'll be slower than if it's we want Krishna. Does that make sense? So we have to see that even though we're engaging the conditioned nature in Krishna's service, we have to see that we're doing it to please Krishna rather than ourselves. Both ways it'll be devotional service. But one will be higher and quicker, and the other will be lower and slower. And the lower one will give us obstacles, because we have a desire, so there's always obstacles. And if it's to please Krishna, then obstacles don't even matter. Even if they are there, we won't notice or care. And Krishna may put them or not. It's up to Him. Because it's His taste, rather than our taste. Right? That's the thing. It's whose taste it is. So when Krishna tastes, then we taste factually. But when it's only us tasting, then we don't get a full taste. And Krishna also doesn't get a full taste. We don't get a full taste because Krishna's not getting it. Right? The relationship's not complete. You know what I'm saying? Like if you walk into the room and then, you know, I start, you know, I take your cheddar and, yeah, nice cheddar and this and that and good cloth and, you know, so I ignore you. You know, I'm interested in your cloth and in your, you know, your bead bag or something else. Then I'm not going to be fully satisfied that I had a really nice relationship, and neither are you. Right? But if I don't care about the other things, and I'm like, oh, you come and we have a nice discussion, then there's satisfaction. You're pleased, I'm pleased. So that's the thing. We're doing the service, we're engaging the conditioned nature, but we're absorbed in the elements of the conditioned nature. We're selfish. Therefore, Krishna can't be fully satisfied. Therefore, we're not fully satisfied. But when it's selfless, right, and constant, then Krishna is satisfied because he doesn't want the relationship to stop, right? No one likes it if today there's a relationship and then tomorrow they ignore you and don't care, and then the next day it's there again, and you want to go talk to them. Hey, is something, you know, we have a relationship or not, you know? So that's, you know, it's that, so one day we're fired up about Krishna, the next day we're not, so therefore it's not that deep. So Krishna can't be fully satisfied, therefore we're not fully satisfied. So it's, what you're doing is not wrong, you should just keep doing it with that faith and determination. And then the result will come. It'll come when Krishna wants. Right? Like that. Okay? Here, one second. Yeah.
I think last. You are living in a world that is a reflection. So if you look in the developments going on, then the computers come in a lot. So now there is being used for many purposes, for learning and for enjoyment and things like that. It seems that using this medium, if you learn from it, like a virtual reality, you can learn how to fly by a machine, you get to this point. But I was wondering if you, there's some really violent games where you can kill people. Killing in this medium, this reflection, does it really create karma or is it just illusory? Because if you learn, it's like something real. But if you, it's a mix of reality and similar with the mind.
Yeah. So. Taking a reflection, a thing of the mind and the computers, so then from that you can learn nice things, you know, how to fly an airplane or this and that, or you can also, they have violent games and, you know, people are doing all kinds of things. So does that create karma? Doesn't create karma, because in this age it's not what you're thinking that you get reactions for, but it creates desire. It creates what's called samskara, impression. So then the impressions are that you like this, or you're accustomed to this, or you want to do this. So that desire then will create a situation in which then you can fulfill that desire. That will create the karma. So directly it doesn't, but indirectly it does. Therefore one has to be careful of one's association, you know, even if it's a computer. Right? Like that. Because a computer is simply somebody's, all it is somebody's mind. Right? The computer itself is a machine. It's a calculator. It's just a mathematical machine. All it does is add up numbers. That's all it does. Right? But somebody has imposed their own intelligence and mind so that when it does all that work, it creates a situation. So depending upon their mind, it may be something pious or something impious. Right? So then depending upon what you're associating with, then you'll develop more pious mentality or more impious. But unless it's devotional, it won't develop that. Unless you're using it for devotional purpose, then you no devotional benefit, only material benefit. Okay. What time is it now?
9:10.
So we should probably stop. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhakti Vrinda ki, Jainita Gaurav ki.